He left so that he could send something else to us. And as they waited upon the Lord, they received the Spirit of God as a mighty rushing wind. And they received it like cloven tongues of fire. Now there might be people out there that have listened to the gospel all their life, but I want you to know that the very people that we read about were some of the very people that received cloven tongues of fire. So I don't want you to get intimidated when somebody's speaking out in other tongues. I just want you to know that this is the greater evidence that you've received the very thing that Jesus Christ has made room for. The very evidence of God in you is that you show outwardly that you have God alive in your life. There's 9 different ways of expression that the Bible tells us, but the evidence of the fulfilling of the Holy Ghost, it showed us the evidence that the very day it was founded. It's the same evidence today. But let me tell you what's happening, church. We've got a group of people that's coming up in the church today that think we don't need it. We've got a group of people coming up in the church today that thinks it's foolish. But I'm going to tell you something very real and personal. I had somebody that loved me that spoke in other tongues. I had somebody that cared about me that prayed out in a way that other people wouldn't understand. So if you're going to tell me that you don't believe in the evidence of speaking in tongues, you might as well tell me that you wish that I wouldn't be here. But I'm here to tell you, friend, there's been many people that came before you that has laid the foundation that we even sit in. So don't you just get used to the fact that you know that you should be doing something. The Lord wants you to be alive and present something, because if it was not important that you not have it, he would not have said that he was gonna send it. Woo! If it was not important for your sins to be forgiven, Jesus would not have died. And if it was not important that you would have direction when evil is present about us, the Spirit would not have come. So we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, was it verse 11 through 19? About the warning that the children of Israel received. About how they need to remember where they've been to know who they are. And to not forsake the things that God had done. And to put in remembrance of his blessing. This word that we're reading is the one that was for us. It's good to reflect in Deuteronomy, but when I read this word right here, it's for me. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. How many of you know that that's talking about Christ, and it's talking about Christ in you? How many of you know that Jesus didn't die in no tomb? That he never surrendered death unto anything except what God told him to surrender it to? When he declared that it was finished, he was talking about the fact that what he bore for you would then not only be complete for the ones that were before him, but the ones that were in front of him and the ones that were to come. And that's where we are. We are forgiven by the sacrifice of someone that we didn't even meet in the flesh, but he loved you enough to say, I'll take the burden of yours and I'll make it to be light, because he takes all the sin that would have caused you to fall and say it is gone and cast away into the sea of forgetfulness. Isn't that powerful? I don't care how numb that you're getting to your situation. The one thing that should be alive and remain in you is Christ Jesus. Everything else can fail, but Jesus will not. Don't you dare get numb to just coming into church and not enjoying anything. Don't you dare say that it's not even worth getting up and praising the Lord. When you sit back and hold back on him, you're quenching the very thing that Jesus said, that I'm going to send you. Because the more that we become, and this is what God spoke to me. Are you ready? I'll share it with you if you want it. Do you want it? You know what the Lord spoke to me? That we're becoming passive Christians. We are no longer aggressive. 1st and 2nd Timothy uses the word to follow after the good things. But I like to put it in to pursue. We are supposed to be in active pursuit. The aggressor. The alpha. He didn't call us to be the beta. He called us to be the alpha. He wanted us to be aggressors. He wanted us to pursue righteousness. He wanted us to seek. He used very active words. He said to seek, to knock, to pray. Things that showed an active obedience. I'm not going to be one when he calls for me that is going to be guilty of being passive. I'm going to fight with all I've got to show people of what it took to get me saved, what it took to fill me with His presence. I don't have time to be passive because I've got stuff that's going on right now, and I don't have time just to sit down and fall over and say that I can't ever get back up again. The Spirit of the Lord has come this night that it would lift you up and encourage you, that you would get back up again and not lay over and just die. The Spirit of God is telling somebody it's time to get back up again. Why? Because something happened. Something happened. Hallelujah. There wasn't any corpse to go and make a museum about. There wasn't any ruins to go back and admonish and for us to wail and travail. If it had ended at that time, we wouldn't be here now. But you know where He went? To the heart of the earth. He went and took the things that would have caused us to stumble. By salvation, we no longer fall. But you know what keeps you established is the Spirit. The Word brings wisdom. Salvation brings establishment. And the Spirit brings guidance for your life. So if you feel the anointing and you get people that ask you to come up and pray and you're feeling something unexplained and you're beginning to feel something brand new, this isn't something you need to just try to push down or push off and say it's not for me, or I don't know what I'm feeling, so I don't want to embarrass myself. This isn't something that God is wanting you to push over and say that I don't need it. This is something that He's wanting you to embrace, because until you embrace it completely, you are living unfulfilled or not filled up. When I go to get me a cookie at night, and I still do, you can obviously tell. When I go to get a cookie at night, I don't fill up the milk just like that. Are you kidding me? I'd go have to take 5 trips to go get a glass of milk. That would suffice. I get it almost to the point that if I walk with it, it's going to spill. And my wife looks at me sometimes and is like, you know better than that. We got brand new carpet. What are you doing? Can't you just get a little less? And I'm like, I know that it won't be enough. How could you look me in the eye and tell me to become passive? How could you look at someone else that's struggling and not encourage them to be anything but passive? If we want to sit here and rot and die, just let me know, because I'm out of here. I'm not going to settle for the devil's level, because every moment that you're sitting, the seed is being planted all around you, trying to talk to you and discourage you, trying to make you not obey Him, trying to keep you away from the ultimate will of the Father. Well, brother, how do I get back up again? What do I do? Let me read these scriptures and I'll close tonight. You can look over at your neighbor and say, thank God, I never thought He was going to be done. Psalm 145, chapter 145, verse 14 says, the Lord uphold all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, do not rationalize, but repent. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. In order to draw nigh, you must steal away. Let's do Galatians 6, 1 and 2. If you are drowning, it does not matter what hand comes out to you. If you're desperate enough, you won't care who it is. It might even be your mortal enemy. But if it can lead you to happiness, who cares whose hand it is? Job even concluded like this. He said, Job chapter 13, verse 15, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. The Lord impressed me with this scripture to give to you tonight. And for some of you, maybe you're needing something to help you with your prayer life, and God has given it to you tonight. Yet, if you need somebody to write it down for you and give it to you to take with you, if you've got a smartphone, I don't care, you're not going to offend me, get it out and write it down right now. The Lord has given me the scripture to give to you. Psalm 51, verse 1 through 17. And I'm going to read it to you. This is what the Lord put in my heart. And if you're ever looking for something to help you pray, go back and read this with a sincere heart, and God will touch you. Have mercy upon me, O God. Sometimes we just need to pray this to get all the things that are causing us to stumble out of the way. If you go on and read about that parable, it said that it's basically saying evil would be present, but when all has come to full growth, you'll know the difference between good and evil. That's the good thing about it. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and that's important to do. And my sin is ever before me. Against Thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And something you may not even understand what to do, God opens it up for us to understand the way. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He didn't say, I might be clean. He was believing in his justification of the God he knew. He said, I shall be clean. I shall be white as snow. You speak to this stuff every day that causes you to fail, and when you repent, let God give you wisdom on how not to do it again. But you to declare to those things, I shall be all right. I shall overcome. You will not touch me again. I was 8 years in bondage, and now I'm 8.5 years free from drugs. But it didn't come from me just being passive. I had to be serious with God about my life, and especially call out for the things that caused me to stumble. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew, say that, a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. It's what we were singing about tonight. It's free for you. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto who? You can lead. You can show them the way because of what came for you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Deliver me from the shame that keeps me down. When Jesus came, he did it. You just have to accept it and believe it's done. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing. Say that aloud. Didn't mean whisper. Said my tongue will sing aloud. Broadcast. Let them know who's Lord. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in thy burnt offering. The sacrifices of God, are you ready for this, are of a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The very things that made you free are the very things that God wants to remind you about. That when you fall, that grace says, you can get back up again. His grace has come today for us, brother, that no matter what it is that causes us to fall in weakness, that if we pray and repent, we can get back up again. But the Spirit has come so that when we come back to that same situation, some people call it conscience, but I consider it to be the Holy Ghost in me, that speaks to me to know what is right and what is wrong. When you get old enough to understand, you're at what? The age of accountability, right? If you're old enough to understand the way, then you need to embrace that which speaks to you. Because friends, there's a whole lot of stuff that we're doing that's foolishness. And it shows on us how. Because when we obey him, it is not fruitful. So that means there's seed that's growing around our lives that needs to be purged. You need to decide what is important for your life. If you want to go and be numb and be another passive Christian that's growing up today and just think that you're all right and you're going to sail your own way into Zion and everything's great, you go right ahead and do it. But I'm going to tell you, somewhere down the line, when you get pushed against the wall with a real situation, you may not have what you need to survive. Because if Christ to be here would have been enough, he would have stayed. But he had to go. And if it would have been enough just for that, he wouldn't have sent something to help us. That's why it come. People get afraid of the Spirit. They're intimidated by it. Some churches literally read every part of the Bible except the part where it talks about when we received it. But you can't escape it. Because it's for you. It's the only thing that'll help you get back up again. I love you tonight and appreciate you. I hope something has been said that you can go out of here and use it. Take these scriptures with you that you grow and be strong in the Lord. Are you blessed and highly favored? I believe you are too. Let's not settle for the devil's level and be a bunch of passive people. Let's be aggressive to what we desire. Faith doesn't come out of passiveness. Faith comes by active alpha. I want what I'm desiring. And God wants that in prayer. I desire to see this happen. He said, if you would pray and give the desires of your heart,
and believe it like it's already done. He was like, if you would pray with faith for what you want, be aggressive and seek him. He said, all these other things be added to you. Easy peasy, right? I wish. And at the end of the day, we're all still going to be tempted. At the end of the day, I'm still going to eat cookies. But it's still not going to stop me from being happy. You know how you're happy? Serve the Lord and eat some cookies.